Mites and Mites podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. Tights and Mites podcast. Tights and Mites.
I don't know James's music. This is really disrespectful. One time, James Storm pushed her in front of a train. Hi, I'm Danielle. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. Oh, that was so disrespectful. I'm a Danielle Radford, and I'm joined today by my fellow member of the Nation of Conversation, the Impact Kelkout champion, Lindsay Kelk.
Hello. This is fun, isn't it? Look at your face.
I missed you so much.
I missed you so much.
It's been so long. So before we get to the wrestling, how was your holiday?
I went on holiday. And that's all it was. That's all I can say to anyone because I didn't think it would ever happen again. Yeah, it was good. And I feel like PSA warning. We self-isolated before we flew and we wore two face masks and a face shield. And we just didn't go near humans and just whales. And then we came home and did the same thing. And we tested negative. So everyone's a winner. And I feel like whenever anyone asks how our holiday was, that's all I tell them. Thank you. Mahalo, yay! Hawaii. We love you. We love you and your whales and your many cocktails. Uh-oh.
Did you get a chance to watch any wrestling while you were holidaying?
I watched a little because I sometimes remember that this is actually a thing I enjoy and would do for fun. And I was away during Wrestle Kingdom, so I watched a smidge. Not all of it. This is the first time in a long time that I was like, oh, it's Wrestle Kingdom. Because, you know, New Japan's in a fallow period, I feel.
Yeah.
Right?
Ebbs and flows. It's a rebuilding year, as they call it, in real sports.
I'm not saying it's because my Elven Prince, you know, destroyed his body. But maybe it is. I would say it was very much a Wrestle Kingdom for people who like Wrestle Kingdom. And not one where I'm like, you gotta watch this because it'll make you love New Japan, because that's not true. But there were some good moments. It's always exciting to see Shibata alive. I can watch that without fearing for his impending death, unlike a lot of wrestlers who leave and come back, because I know they're going to take care of him. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe it. I think the Kenta-Tanahashi match was fun. Tanahashi's always fun. Kenta's always fun. And it was a little bit like they're going to kill each other. It was the opposite of how you feel about a Shibata match. It was like, they're going to die. That was a fun one. And I don't care for Billy Ocean Spray, obviously. But if you like his stuff, his match with Okada was a fine Okada match. Really didn't know which way it was going to go. Although, like, in my heart, you're like, of course they're going to put it back on their boy in this big anniversary year that they have coming up. Mm. But it was also a bit like, well, what if they don't? Because it is New Japan and you just never can quite be sure. I hold out hope for it to grow and build and just stop hiring people I don't care for. Like, maybe you could stop doing that, you guys. But I think we've got some good stuff coming up. They have hired some people I do like. We got Jonah coming over there, which will be exciting. Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see where it's going. I'm not giving up on him, obviously. So let's see where it goes.
Yeah, no, I just think like just with any, especially, you know, obviously this has like been a rough couple of years with people not being able to travel and all that stuff. And then so many people who have been regulars at New Japan are just not regulars at New Japan anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're going to drop it together. I have not watched Wrestle Kingdom yet, and that's on me. That's my bad skis. I will say there's a little bit of an enthusiasm gap for me this year as well.
Yeah.
But I look forward to seeing what they do. I think it's, I mean, they'll figure it out. It's just right now, it's not super.
Right. Fun. I would never bet against them. I would just never count them out. They have figured it out more times than they have not figured it out. And New Japan Strong is such an important growing brand for them. To me, they're the interesting, I mean, obviously, I'm biased, but to me, they're the interesting company to watch out of the three companies that I am most actively involved with. So we shall see. We had a women's match on the main event this year. It wasn't like a warm-up match or anything like that, which is wild. So that's exciting. Let's see what happens. Let's do this, New Japan. You got your boy
fingers
back.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. So there are some things that we haven't gotten a chance to talk about. Brock Lesnar is a champion now with his little fucking man bun.
Oh, I forgot. And I watched it happen live. I knew it happened, but I had totally forgotten until this moment. Yeah. Oh.
Wow. The Brock Lesnar rebrand is still, every time I see it, I can't handle it.
He's Y2K, baby. It's back, back, back. It's not just on Euphoria. It's on Brock.
Yeah.
Like, he is all about those low-rise bootcut jeans and that bun. I mean, he's moments away from coming out in a strappy going-out top. And I am totally down for it. He's going to be wearing one of those little jeweled bedazzled belts that's just like a string of little jewels. And it's not really a belt, but you put it on like a belt. I mean, it's moments away. That's going to be the new championship. It's going to be a 2000s bejeweled belt. Christ alive. Yeah, I'm brokenhearted for Big E, obviously.
Yeah.
Brokenhearted for Big Kev. Although Big Kev won. He said so on Twitter. He won because his mom and dad said they were proud of him. And I think he's right, because I think he took a ton of money home and went, thanks, boys.
And the cats
played
are proud.
Played with his cats, right? Who is everyone's proud of Big Kev?
I almost called this whole day off because there was a cat on me. And I was like, well, I can't possibly work today.
No, I mean, what are you supposed to do? The cats are in charge.
They're in charge. Then it was just, there was a cat on me.
As if anyone listening to this podcast doesn't already know that. Like, come on.
You know what you signed up for. You know that.
And Hal's not here. So you guys, this is
extra cats.
Dicks and cats. That's welcome
dicks
to
and
dicks
and
cats.
And dicks and cats and dicks and cats and dicks and cats. That's the song I should have opened the show with. So yeah, their NXT continues to fuck it up, and not in the good way. Wow, what a difference a year fucking makes.
Yeah. Oh god.
Remember when that was the only thing we wanted to talk about on the podcast? Because
I remember it so dearly. It is. It's so hard to say this without feeling like a terrible person because of all of the things that have happened in the whole wide world.
Yes.
But I am still grieving my loss of NXT. They took it away and they didn't tell me why, and I didn't know they were going to do it. And it's gone forever. It's gone forever. Yeah. And it's not just different. It's been entirely dismantled, taken apart, sacked now. It's also now been fired. The heart and soul, everything that made NXT is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have this new thing. I feel like we're living in one of those terrible psychological thrillers where the husband killed his wife and there's a new wife wearing her clothes and using her name. And they're like, what are you talking about? This is Sarah you met at brunch. I'm like, this is not fucking Sarah. Stop trying to tell me this is Sarah. Sarah is in your basement. Yeah, right?
And, yeah, it's just gaslighting.
Right? And I'm just like, and everyone around me is going like, no, that's Sarah. That's definitely Sarah. I'm like, this is just a different brunette lady. It still makes me so sad.
It's new Coke, and it's like the old Coke was fine. We all liked the old Coke.
Yeah,
like
the regal of it is the final nail in the coffin. I've been like, I'm gonna try. When even last week when I was away, I was like, you know, when I get back, I'm gonna recommit to NXT because I haven't been watching it properly. I've been watching clips. I've been watching it here, and I'm gonna recommit. I'm gonna get back into it. I love Mandy. There's stuff about the new brand that I could probably get into. I liked Cora Jade. And as much as I don't want to mention this either, because it's also an abomination, but as they mentioned on And Just Like That, which is, again, not Sex and the City, but, you know, Carrie said there's two things you shouldn't be talked into, which is love and ziplining. I'm going to add into it NXT 2.0. Because fuck it. Actually, fuck it without lube, because no. Yeah, fuck it dry, Danielle, because they got rid of Regal. I know that's not the fault of any of the performers.
Yes,
but I can't do it. I can't do it like that. I can't. You took away my boy. You took away my Regal, my wrestle dad.
You know, we know how important Road Dogg has always been to you as well. So
yeah. On that note, they took away Regal. So honestly, I think in good conscience, for my own mental health, I can't sit screaming at the TV for 2 hours a week, go like, why did you do this to me? Because I'm doing it to myself at this point.
Honestly, I've started treating NXT 2.0 as like Superstars. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or like Sunday Night Heat.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, okay, I'm going to see some people that I don't normally see, and we're just going to give this a fucking whirl, and maybe something interesting will happen.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's like a testing ground for something else, but it's definitely not my number one special baby anymore.
You look at the match list and I'm like, I don't know any of these fucking people. And I don't want to keep banging on the same drum because we've said this before. But it's been weeks now and I'm like, you're still bringing in new people. There are still new people I don't know. And the people who started out 2.0 are now the people who are bringing in other new people. So I'm like, these guys haven't been here long enough to legitimize bringing in another load of people. I'm so confused, peeps. People. Maybe it will be a background show that I have on sometimes, but I want to keep on top of it to check in on my faves, and I will keep watching my faves. But yeah, I feel like the majority of my NXT 2.0 news is going to be coming not directly from NXT 2.0. Stop making me say NXT 2.0 as well. It's fucking stupid.
That's so stupid. That's such like a, speaking of like the mid-2000s, calling something like 2.0, like a mid-2000s thing, you know?
I know. It's
0.0. It's like, yeah, no, we got it. Like, we all fucking update our phones.
It was so modern.
It's so modern.
I'm on my iPhone 13, Vince, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, iOS fucking NXT. On a lighter note, we've got Jade Cargill as the TBS champion.
Yes, a lady. So
the Haas champion, as I, yeah.
The Haas champion. And she is the Haas champion. That should be her official title.
God, she's so, and I, oh, she's too green, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I have, and I get it. But the fact that people were surprised is like, they've been building her up for fucking ever.
Yeah. Have you seen her? Have you seen her? That's a great song. Go listen to that. Thanks, MC Hammer. But why would you not? It ticks a lot of boxes that AEW needs to tick outside of the fact that she's fucking great. They're like, she's a lady. She's a black lady. This is a good thing. And it's like, yeah, you've had a lot of you've had a lot of people push back on some of those things. But also, I think it's good for her. I think she needs it. You can't have her come in and be that dominant of a talker and someone who's just a beast and then not have her win a belt. Honestly, I think it will help her. We talk about this all the time. The championship makes the person or the person makes the championship. And I think it adds to her credibility to have it.
Fully agree.
I just want to see her have like a fuck ton of matches and just murder everyone and then get into a really, really, really good program with someone who can bring her up.
I really just want to see her ragdoll some people.
Yeah.
Just fucking throw them around. Like, that's give her, what I want.
I mean, she's the perfect person. If you're going to give women 5-minute matches, you dicks, give them to Jade because she will make that 5 minutes count.
Yeah, just give her, just let her Brock Lesnar everybody.
Yeah, but then you've got to have 2 matches. Sorry for the proviso. But yeah, let her just murder everyone in 5 minutes flat and then have a second match a week, wild idea, which is building up a credible challenger to her, you know, like storytelling, the more you know. I'm excited for it because I think she has so much potential and I think she looks incredible and I want to watch her on my television, which I think is the point of this.
Yes, right? That is the point.
They want us to watch it.
Because I like when I enjoy things.
You so crazy.
I know. And I enjoy Jade Cargill so much. Oh, also, we didn't get a chance to talk about this. Beth Phoenix is back looking amazing with Edge. And they're doing this like Miz versus like they're doing this feud with Miz and Maryse. And like,
the It couple versus the Grit couple.
I love it.
It's all I want to talk about. And it's all I want to watch. It's all I care about. My poor husband, who was trapped alone with me on an island for like a straight week, had to listen to my... I like to go off on a point for some time. I don't know if you've noticed. A monologue for roughly a week straight. And I really have taken on the Edge Beth, the Ballad of Edge and Beth lately because it makes me so happy. They are hotter than they've ever been.
Oh my God.
In every sense. Like, they are physically beautiful. They are badass in the ring. They are amazing on the mic. They might be my favorite people alive right now. It might genuinely might be my best people. Mm. Like, I want to see them host the Oscars. Like, give them everything. Give them everything. I love Miz and Maryse. I want to be their friend. I want to find out where they live and just go there. Invited. There's nothing about this I don't love. Everyone's great. I loved what they did this week with Maryse walking off when she realized she was going to have to actually face Beth in the ring.
Maryse?
Miz, before you hightail it out of there to follow your wife, just one more thing. If Maryse is too afraid to show up for our match at the Royal Rumble, and if Adam doesn't get to you first, I will take great pleasure in knocking your teeth in.
But they're all like older, but doing the best work of their careers. Because you know what? People can be still be fucking great in their 40s.
It turns out you don't just die.
it turns out
you don't actually have to Logan's Run or like fucking put us on an ice floe. Like, it turns out there is life after 40.
It's just Beth and Edge sat on a glacier with some polar bears being like, but we can still go.
My knees still work. Yeah. I got a new back and a neck. Obviously, number one thing in the world, I love friendship. Second, I love a battle couple. Yeah. Oh, give me a battle couple.
The only thing I don't love is I wanted this match at Mania and not at the Royal Rumble because I'm a baby and the baby wanted to see this. We want to see Mommy and Daddy versus Mommy and Daddy. That's what the baby wanted. But maybe I still will. I really thought they would just have them face off against each other in the respective Rumbles to further the story and then take it all the way to Mania, because why would you not? Because this is money.
You should not blow this off before me.
No, right? I don't understand it. So maybe they will cancel it. Maybe that's where this Maryse walking away thing is going. Maybe she's going to be like, I can't wrestle. Oh, no. But then come into the Rumble and eliminate Beth. There's loads of things you could do with it. There's so many things you could do with it. Because everyone's great.
But so you brought up the Rumble. So speaking of the Rumble, we're getting ready for the road, guys. Woo-hoo. So yeah, we've got Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar, the battles of the BLs. It's interesting because it doesn't, on paper, I feel like I don't give a shit. But when I see it, I'm kind of into it.
Same.
Knock, knock. Brock Lesnar does a knock, knock joke in Philadelphia. I thought I saw it all. Okay, Brock, who's there?
Bobby.
Bobby who? Exactly.
I'm more excited than I thought I would be for a match that ultimately is very unlikely to mean anything.
It won't mean shit.
Yeah. This is the only thing. The Rumble is the weirdest pay-per-view because it is my favorite. Generally speaking, it is my favorite pay-per-view. And it's the only pay-per-view where it's like, you don't want to be in a title match, right? Because you want to be in the Rumble.
You want to be in the fun.
And every time I see someone getting pulled into a match, I'm like, aw, Doudrop. Like, I wanted to see you in the Rumble because you're not going to win.
No, I just want to see you hefting people over your shoulders and just tossing them.
And I need Naomi.
I'm in a real, I want chicks to get tossed kind of move.
2022, chicks get tossed.
2022, chicks getting tossed.
I'm here for it. I don't know. That's the only thing. It's like whenever they announce a match and I'm like, will that better not be in the Rumble? Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know what is going on with the Women's Rumble, which direction it's going in. They've got so many veterans announced to return.
Yes.
Then it makes me very, and that's exciting because I love to see my girls get the shine. Mm-hmm. But it makes me even more excited for the surprises, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because it does. If you're going to like blow the surprise by telling us that we're going to be bringing back Kelly, the Bellas, Summer Rae, which also interestingly enough, I'm more pumped than I would have thought I would have been. Lita, Michelle McCool, like if you're going to already let us know about all of these, then obviously we're going to get to, I think, one of the biggest surprises that they already told us about in the main event. But it does, it's one of the, look, either the surprises are going to be like wild or we're going to be wildly disappointed. Those are the only ways.
I know. It's
there isn't going to be, there's not going to be any middle ground where it's like, oh, interesting. It's either going to be like, oh, wow, I can't fucking believe it. Or like, okay.
There's no creamy middle with the Rumble. It's either the greatest moment of your entire life or it's like, oh. And it's always that last entrant when you're like, oh. You're like, I thought I was holding out for something fun here. And it's like, well, you're fucking dumb. Because it's wrestling and it's WWE, you dumb baby. Because like from a marketing perspective, I'm like, you announce the people who will get people to tune in. The Bellas will get people to tune in. Lita will get people to tune in. Kelly will get people to tune in who have not been watching. You get people to turn on their televisions and subscribe to Peacock. The surprises are then rewards for the fans.
Yes.
And people that will get you press afterwards. That makes me think the surprises in the Women's Rumble will be rewards, which right now, obviously, I don't even want to say it, but right now all roads and teasers lead to Paige, right? That's what the internet is saying.
Paige here. Or sorry, Paige there.
Oh, Paige. I don't know. I don't want to get my hopes up because I love that sweet baby. I want her to be safe. Apparently you can just like make a wish now and cure your neck.
Where are all these new necks coming from?
Right.
Is there like a neck depot? Like,
I know.
What is happening? Or how did we cure concussions?
I know it we've seems been like we've really
just cured
busy
concussions
trying to cure something else. But did we miss massive fucking developments in the neck surgery area while this was going on? Was there a secret underground neck surgery ring just figuring out how to repair necks and concussions that we were not informed about? This is an episode of Dark Side of the Ring 10 years from now when they're like the great underground neck conspiracy. I don't know, man. I really hope it's true and that all these people are miraculously cured and safe and healthy and well. Because I don't think Paige is coming back to do catch wrestling, you know? If she comes back. Nikki's back. Nikki had a cyst on her brain and no neck. And Nikki's coming back. So I'm like, okay.
I don't know what Nikki's going to... Is it just drop kicks? Like, what the
I don't
fuck
know.
Is she going to do?
I wish I had been in the room when Nikki explained to Brie that they were doing this. Because you know that's what happened.
Oh, that's exactly how that happened.
That's exactly what happened.
It was literally happened. Like, they got together so that they could talk about fucking Birdie B.
Oh, it was it's fucking Sister Sunday in Napa Valley at some vineyard. Because yes, I'm obsessed with their Instagrams. It's Sister Sunday and Nikki's like, hey, I have something fun that we could do. And Brie looks at her dead in the eye and is like, absolutely fucking not. And she's like, no, come on, it's the Rumble. It's just the Rumble. You gotta, please. For Teo, for Birdie, you gotta. And then Brie immediately got talked into it because she's Brie. And then the next thing you know, they're tag team champions and Brie's back on the road for 6 months. What do we know about Nikki Bella? Nikki always gets away.
I can't. And at one point, just like Johnny Ace comes in and was like, hey, that's going to be really good. That's a terrible Johnny Ace.
Because
you got to do it because he sounds like he's breathing in while he's talking. Yeah. Hey, guys, can't wait for the Rumble. God, that's terrible. I'm a not good person.
I mean, he has a distinctive voice, and it's hard to do. That's what we know. It's like how we can't do a Dusty, we can't do a Johnny Ace, but we respect them for their good characteristics,
for everything they have given and taken away.
I don't give two shits about the men's rumble. It hasn't even crossed my mind, but I am obsessed with this women's rumble and what it means and who's going to be in it. And gimme.
Gimme, maybe we'll get Lay Cool? Who knows?
Oh, yes, please.
If you've got any thoughts on the road to WrestleMania, we'll have an episode thread in our Facebook group where you can discuss it with the rest of the Nation of Conversation. Plus, you can read more about what we thought on Twitter and Instagram. When we come back, we've got one more woman who entered the Royal Rumble that we're going to talk about, and we're very excited. Sets up next on Tights and Fights. Okay, I got to pee really quick.
Pee real quick.
I'm John Moe. My show Depresh Mode is all about mental health. And this week, I talk with Amanda Knox. She spent 4 years in an Italian prison for a murder she didn't commit. That's a lot of trauma, and she's okay talking about it.
If I touch on something that you'd rather not get into, just say so. We'll cut the whole exchange out. But it also seems like you're pretty open about a lot of things.
Yeah. I am having trouble imagining anything that you could talk to me about.
I know. What are we going to throw Amanda Knox with?
Depresh Mode with John Moe, only on Maximum Fun.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Bites. I'm Danielle Radford, and I'm joined today by
Lindsay Kelk. Sorry, I'm talking about Hard Pog.
We got too into talking about Hard Pog and then forgot that we were supposed to be talking about wrestling because we got really excited.
Wrestling
for
is everything.
Treats.
Wrestling is Hard Pog. Hard Pog is wrestling. Like, you know, look it up. Look it up, people. Get yourself some Hard Pog. Treat yourself. It's a Happy New Year.
Maybe they'll sponsor us if we just keep saying Hard Pog.
Just keep saying Hard Pog.
Julian, just send them a clip of us saying Hard Pog. It worked with Manscaped.
Truly.
It worked with Manscaped.
Yeah, where are we on that blue chew money, Julian?
I mean, everybody knows that the real money's at Roman right now. They're the ones who have the COVID tests. So I think that's where our average would be better spent right now.
I have used Rory, which is like the Lady Roman, right? That's the same company. Oh. Please get that money. Yeah, I know. I was like, why are they naming my retinol after Rory Gilmore? Get that dollar, Julian. We want it. we need that cash.
We need some blue chew.
Because apparently I have to pay for my own hard pog. So come on, Julian.
This week we are giving one corner of wrestling some extra attention. This is our main event.
Let's get ready to rock.
Anal bleeding.
Whoa! Holy shit!
WWE Dynamite.
I hate ducks!
And a hard fight victory.
Live, pal.
What?
I sometimes think about my funeral, and I think about it just being that. Like, I think I'm just playing that as they put me through the curtain. Like, that's all I want. That's all I want. I think it's important.
Is anal bleeding new? Is that a new one?
No, that was a few weeks ago.
That was a few weeks ago. Okay.
The irony is that I love ducks. So, you know, I'm like, oh, but it makes me chuckle. I love you, Julian. Thank you for that gift.
It's so beautiful every time. So, yeah, Mickie James getting a lot of attention this week because she announced she's going to be in the Royal Rumble and she's bringing the Impact Knockout Championship with her. Fucking wild.
So very, very exciting.
You know, it felt good. It seemed that I was on the tip of everyone's tongue last night, on everybody's thumbs as they were talking about history in the making when the Knockouts world champion is walking into the Royal Rumble. But do not think for one second that I'm going to let that high get in the way of what I have in front of me tonight.
I Forbidden Door, blah, 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 blah.
Forbidden Doors all over the place. Getting knocked in. They're like forbidden barn doors now. They're like forbidden cat flaps. I mean, what the fuck? This is very exciting. I'm very excited to have the forbidden cat flap busted open by the fucking Knockouts champion. Yes.
It's so good. Yeah, it's definitely like a forbidden revolving door at this point. Like, right? It's just everyone's coming through it and going out of it. Well, when you talk about surprises, like, that was, I wouldn't have ever seen that coming.
We know Mickie recently left, parted ways, did not leave, but parted ways with WWE in, should we say, acrimonious circumstances. So it seemed surprising, but then I'm super here for anyone who leaves in a way that is less than wonderful to get that fucking money. So that was delightful because I'm like, get the check, make sure it has a bunch of zeros on the end and like laugh all the way to the bank. So I love that. I cannot say enough good things about Mickie James. I know we're going to get into it. She's an amazing thing for wrestling. She is an amazing person who loves what she does, who pushes the envelope, who progresses the careers and the storylines and the rights and everything for everyone. Mm-hmm. She doesn't just look out for herself. She looks out for the whole industry. She does so much for women in wrestling.
So much.
And not just cishet ladies, you know, NWA Empower, we're going to talk about later. Like, that was an incredible pay-per-view that presented many different aspects of womanhood and what a woman is and what a woman can be and whatever that means. And I love her for it. So the idea that she's going to get a moment, just like, I'm getting dead emotional at the idea of her walking out onto the ramp and getting that fucking cheer, because I will be jumping up and down on my sofa, Tom Cruise styly, but less creepy, when I see her fucking face out on that ramp getting the cheer she deserves.
And bringing the fucking belt with her.
Bringing the belt! Ugh.
I can't. That's such a... This is like straight up like ECW coming to WWE, and not when like they bought everything, but like when they were doing their partnership together. It's such a rub for her. It's such a rub for Impact. Honestly, the only thing that has ever bothered me about Mickie James is when she wore those fucking bell bottoms, and it's just because I was worried she was going
to
trip.
I had a real debate with myself as to whether or not we needed to mention that, because we've all had feelings.
I'm always going to mention the bell bottoms. I'm always going to mention Toni Storm's stupid little hat. Like,
I love people to be happy. I want people to do the thing that they like. We don't yuck other people's yums.
No, we do not.
So if those bell bottoms make Mickie James happy, I want her to have them. I personally don't want to wear them. And no one's asking me to. So you know what?
It's just a tripping issue. I'm just so worried. Every time she does it, I'm like, she's going to slip and fall in those fucking pants.
It's like a superhero cape, man. I'm worried that she's going to walk out and walk into a puddle and then it's going to be halfway up the bell bottom. Because we've all been there. We all remember that moment.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Look forward to kids, kids that think they're bringing back low-rise flares, let me sit down and explain to you what happened to us in 2002. You can't go out in damp weather. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I hope she... I wanted to come back as full fucking Mickey. I want peak Mickey James running down that ramp, wearing that belt. Take it off before you get in the ring. It's only going to hamper you. But it's very exciting.
They won't do it. They won't do it. But I want someone to get smacked right in the fucking face with that belt.
Oh, yes,
imagine?
Please. Preferably Michelle McCool, who is in the Rumble, right? So, please run in. Twatter in the face with the belt. Don't censor that, Julian. Twat her in the face. And then do your thing. Like, I'm fine with it, but I remember. I was there. I remember that feud. I remember the pig cake. I want to see Michelle McCool get planted in the face with the Impact's knockout belt, and that will make me very happy.
Oh, God, I'm going to be so good. We've been talking about this. Mickey is a fucking legend. She's been wrestling for a really long time. Do you have any favorite matches? Again, my favorite moment, it's not a match. I just really think it's fucking funny that James Storm pushed her in front of a train.
Looks like your train's pulling up.
What train? My train?
Is that your phone?
No, I don't think so.
Sure, I think your phone's ringing.
No, James, look, it's not my phone.
I got that same phone.
Boy, that's a long way down.
He pushed her in front of a train. I'm so sorry. It's so stupid.
It's peak wrestling, and I love it. We all know Mickey is a fantastic performer. We know she's great in ring. We know she's great on the mic. We know she's a great musician. She is also an artist, but she's a great actress too, which I love. It means you can give her those things to do and she will do really well with it. Mm-hmm. I was out of wrestling, as we know. I had managed to miss the whole Attitude Era, lucky me. So I came back sort of late 2000. So Mickey was core when I came back in. She was in my core gang. And I know there's a lot to say about the Divas era, which is not always the greatest era of women's wrestling.
Right.
But again,
not the women's fault.
Right, exactly. Same thing. Like, for the troops against the war. So I loved that group of women. And I'm not going to say they were the greatest wrestlers that I've ever seen, but they were fantastic performers who were putting on a really great show with what they were given. So I have a real fondness for that era of Leigh Cool, Maryse, of Mickey James, like that whole little moment. Beth Phoenix, I mean, I'm like, oh my God, back again. But to see all these women back and getting a chance it's not even redeem themselves. I've seen people being like, yeah, now they can like redeem themselves and show what they can do. Like, no, they don't. They have nothing to apologize or redeem. They were doing fantastic work with what they were given. What we have now is a chance for us to show our appreciation for them in a way that we did not then. So I am really excited for that. But yeah, I really enjoyed her back then. I really enjoyed those stories. I loved the stuff with Maryse. I love the stuff with Leigh Cool. I fucking loved Leigh Cool. I really did.
Oh, God, I really...
Well, this has been months of animosity. Could this be retribution for the every woman, Mickey James?
Planning Michelle. Can she do it? She hooks both legs. What's she does. Mickey's the champion.
I don't know if I'm pointing to specific matches back then, but I really enjoyed what she did. Yeah. I was excited when she came back. And I think that's when I can remember specific moments, specific matches. Like in the Elimination Chamber match that she was in was fucking great. Mm. Her performance there was great. I loved all of her stuff with Alexa Bliss.
That was so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that program.
I can't say that there's anything she was in that she did not do really fucking well. But that Elimination Chamber match in particular for me was when I was like, oh, she's going to kill someone. And I'm very excited about it.
That's one of the things I'm really excited for is I'm ready for Mickey James to murder.
Yeah.
I'm ready for again, just lasses being thrown around. That's the name of the
bring
day.
Bring that vengeance. Bring your righteous vindication and your vengeance, Mickey, and let it loose on all those motherfuckers. I would like to see her just insert herself into the men's match and punch some people in the face with the championship. Why not? You're there. You know, they're paying you whether you're doing or not. So just go punch some people and bring a garbage bag to the ring and then pull the TNA Knockouts Championship out of the garbage bag and then punch Michelle McCool with it. I don't care how she does it. I just need Michelle McCool to get punched in the face with that belt.
Real bad.
So I'm just very excited. And then other than that, like, just go watch the NWA Empower pay-per-view that she produced.
Really, seriously, go watch that. It was a lot of fun. It did kind of fly under the radar because there's just so much wrestling and so much happening right now. But yes, please, please, please go back and watch that, because it was great. And it's like a great way to really see a lot of like the up and coming women stars. Like, these are people that you are going to know in 5 years. So you should get to know them now. And then you can look cool when it come up. Right. Isn't that exciting?
It was just really, really fun. And I think, obviously, we talked about it at the time. It wasn't perfect. Nothing is. I think, like, 10 years from now, we'll be talking about it. I really do. I think it established a lot of people. It gave a lot of people a showcase that wouldn't have otherwise had it. And like I say, I think it was really important for representation, because it...
Yeah.
If you think about Mickey as someone who came up in the Divas era, and also Mickey James is insanely beautiful, and they Lay Cool gave her a pig cake. So think about what that meant for representation of women in that time, versus what representation of a woman was at Empower. We're in a different time, we're in a different space, and she is still holding, not only opening the door, but holding that fucking door. She's Hodor at this point. She is holding that door open for everyone to get out. I've seen some people say, like, why are they spotlighting Mickey James and not all these other people? Like, because Mickey fucking James, show some respect.
That's never my favorite argument, is like, why this person and why not that person? It's like, well, you know, maybe that person will get their thing, but let her have her moment.
Yep.
You know?
Right.
We asked all of y'all, like, hey, do you have any, you know, like, memories or like anything that you want to say about Mickey James? And we got a really nice message from a member of the Nation Conversation. Desi Love on Twitter said, "We absolutely don't deserve this woman. She was treated like shit in her first run with a major company, later fired with a garbage bag from the same place, and she has stuck with the industry and fought for women after her to have it better. Not the same." So dope. Obviously, all of, well, not all of wrestling Twitter, but the ones that count. All of wrestling Twitter that count. It's like the everyone who counts loves Ned Flanders. Like,
oh, truly. Everyone. I mean, I've curated my wrestling Twitter down now to the point where I'm like, wow, what a great place to be. And it's just because I muted and blocked like a fucking million people. So my wrestling Twitter is super excited about the Mickey James of it all.
It's a good place to be. If you've got anything that you would like to say about it, please do. Feel free to tell us more on over on Facebook. Read more about our thoughts on Twitter. Julian is real spicy on the Tights and Fights Twitter, because sometimes people will be like, Danielle, I can tell that. She was like, no, all that spice is coming straight from Julian, my friends.
Look, sometimes he's been lifting heavy and he's got thoughts. I can't stop him from communicating that, and I wouldn't want to, you know?
Nope.
Like, bring the fire, Julian.
We don't censor our Julians here. Our Julians run free and run wild all over our Twitter. So when we do come back, we've got some things from wrestling that you should know about, and that is up next on Tights and Fights.
For over a decade, MaxFunCon has been an incredible weekend of learning, connecting, and laughing with folks in the MaxFun community. And, if all goes according to plan, the last regularly scheduled MaxFunCon will take place in Lake Arrowhead from June 3rd to June 5th, 2022. We have a very limited number of tickets remaining. To make them available to the maximum number of people, we'll be opening our waitlist for tickets on January 23rd at 5 p.m. Pacific. That'll be your chance to be first in line to purchase tickets, and we'll go down the waitlist until we're at capacity. More details at MaxFunCon.com. And mark your calendars for Sunday, January 23rd at 5 p.m. Pacific.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Bites. I'm Danielle Radford, and I'm joined today by...
Lindsay Kell.
Yay! So this week, we're going to end the show by sharing some of the joy of wrestling with you. This is the Three Count. We normally start with me, but that feels stupid because I'm hosting. So today we are starting with Lindsay Kelk. Lindsay, what would you like to put over?
Hello. I would like to put over, both because it's fabulous and in honor of Halbert, I'm putting over episode one because it's the only one I've watched so far, because I am spreading out this joy. Episode one of Peacemaker, which dropped on HBO Max, and the accompanying podcast. featuring friend of Tyson fights. Iffy, what the fuck? I didn't know about that. I missed that because I have not been on socials that much.
Well, no,
he was so excited.
He like just announced it. Yeah, so it's Iffy Wadiway and I believe Fiona Nova. Yeah, they're doing the companion podcast to Peacemaker. It's very fucking exciting and there's no one better in the world. Iffy Wadiway is like one of my best friends and favorite people. Could not be more excited for him.
I got so excited when I saw his name come up before the show. I made Jeff pause it so I could take a photo like a proud nana. I was delighted and I'm excited to listen to it now that I've watched episode one. Peacemaker episode one and obviously specifically John fucking Cena. It's been a road, man. It's been a wild ride watching him grow and blossom before our very eyes. Actually shrink some because he's a little smaller than he used to be.
That always happens when people, when they cross over, you got to get a little smaller.
Right? You got it. And they make a joke in the first episode about how he's too bulky to be a superhero because superheroes always have gymnast bodies. I'm like, this boy lost some LBs.
Yeah.
So shut your face. But he is fantastic in it. He is funny. He is charming. He has moments of pathos and there's like, he does the whole thing. He does the whole spectrum of stuff. I specifically want to put over the fight scene towards the end of the episode, which John acquits himself excellently in his tighty whities whilst dancing to an 80s power ballad. Well, it's not really power ballad, it's like hair metal, but it's very exciting. It's choir boys specifically. Jeff was delighted by the music selections in the show. But yeah, it's so good and he's so good and I think it's only going to get better.
Hey, there's something weird going on. You think me and Vigilante are too stupid to notice?
Hey everyone, which one's me and which one's Eagly?
Okay, you're half right, but you score 50% on the test at school. What do you get? A D. School was my bag. It's for dorks.
So check it out. Check it out, please. Peacemaker.
Very exciting. Well, so Hal isn't here, in which case when we do that, we actually give Julian a voice. He becomes a person.
A whole person.
A whole person. Julian, is there anything you wanted to put over?
Oh, sure. Okay, Jesus. This is like not a thing that I don't think, if you're a wrestling fan, you knew about this existing for a while. But I'm going to put over what I think is probably at least a top three wrestler in a mainstream movie cameo, which is I went back because, you know, the world has Spider-Man on the brain right now. So I went back and watched, you can hear my dog walking around in the background. I went back and watched the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie and was reminded of Macho Man's cameo as Bonesaw.
Is ready.
Yeah, so good. Every time I remember as a kid watching that with my dad, and I was like, Dad, look, it's Macho Man. It's Macho Man Randy Savage.
Hey, listen, it's some kind of mistake. I didn't sign up for a cage match. Hey, unlock the thing. Take the chain off.
Hey, Freak Joe, you're going nowhere. I got you for 3 minutes. 3 minutes of bleed time.
One thing you might not know is that Hal Lublin was actually one of those people in the stands freaking out and cheering for Bonesaw and then cheering for Spider-Man as, you know, Peter Parker was a whiny little baby about only getting $100 for 2 minutes of work. So, I mean, you know, as a lot of people pointed out, that's not a bad payday for an independent wrestler who didn't have to do anything when they showed up.
So, that's fucking great, actually. And in New York? Come on.
Right, exactly. So it's just, I mean, hey, if you've watched some No Way Home and you want to go watch more Spider-Man, go back and rewatch that little cameo. It's really great. I love it.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so I am putting over, and this is not the first time I've put this over. It will not be the last time. I'm putting over Black Wrestle Twitter because we had a ball this week after it was announced by Mark Henry that AEW, again, I wish this was a visual podcast sometimes, that AEW...
I just remembered.
For Black History Month is putting together a mixtape. And obviously, like, we don't know what it's going to be, but that's never stopped us before from making fun of something, nor will it ever. So Black Wrestle Twitter had such a good time that, like, she didn't even say the name of it, but Brandy, like, literally, because people kept being like, what's Brandy's verse gonna be, like, blah blah blah. Brandy didn't even name it. She knew exactly what we were talking about, and her tweet was, I'm not involved in the project, so give it a chance. People have been working very hard on it. It's like, it just,
where have I heard that before?
So sad.
Where have I heard that before? Oh wait, from her. So
I am definitely gonna buy it, you know, or Spotify it at least. Like, I'm going to listen to it. We're going to talk about it a fucking lot. So get ready, because we're definitely like there. I'm never letting it go. This is my 20.
Strap in, folks.
This is my money plane for this year, is going to be the AEW mixtape. So fucking get ready. Very excited.
You
want to
see a guy fuck an alligator? AEW mixtape.
AEW mixtape. You want to celebrate Black History Month? AEW mixtape. Oh boy. So that does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Lindsay Kelk, along with me, Danielle Radford. Kelk, is there anything else that our listeners need to know?
Yes, there is. On a Night Like This is out in the US and Canada on Tuesday. It's on Tuesday. Oh. That's mere days from now. At last, finally, it is on its way. On a Night Like This, out in paperback and ebook and audio on January 18th. I'm so excited. I know a couple of people, yourself included, Danielle, already have it on pre-order, which is very exciting.
Of course I do.
Tim, listening right now, I'm looking at you. I'm not literally looking at you, not on this podcast, but our lovely listener, Tim. And yeah, I hope that you will read it or borrow it from your library and read it. And I'm really excited for it to be out because I'm really proud of it. I think it's good. I'm going to be on Instagram Live at Lindsay Kelk on Tuesday at 3:30 Eastern, just saying hi and thank you to everyone for buying it, answering questions, that kind of thing. So feel free to come over, say hi. I will also answer wrestle questions. And there are wrestle references in the book. I always put wrestle references in the book, and only one person has messaged me about them this time so far, because they're not subtle. But
it all took place in a wrestling ring.
Yes.
Right? It's all a dream. No, once you've seen it, it's not subtle. But I think if you're just reading through and rattling through, you know, as per Jordan Firstman's impressions on Instagram last night, it is a quick read. So it's a pacey read. You just read through it. You read real quick. Takes 30 seconds. So you might not notice it straight away. But there were wrestle Easter eggs in there, which I put in for the nation because I love you guys.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to read it. For me, God, what do I have? I don't know. Man, just follow me on fucking Twitter. I'm always doing something. This month is so wildly busy that I'm not able to keep track of what I am doing. I literally have was trying to explain to someone about my schedule, and I was like, I don't know. I'm working on a new tabletop RPG, if that is your bag, with Hyper RPG. I believe the first episode is the end of this month. It's called Kolok. It's like a post-apocalyptic sci-fi crazy thing. So that'll be really fun as well. And I think that's about all we've got. Our producer, Julian Burrell, is sad about football this week. Aww.
Yeah.
Don't be sad, Julian. I'll be all right.
I always get over it.
Don't be sad that it's gone. Be happy that it happened. I don't know. I don't know how that saying goes. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Find links to all of our social media channels in the show notes. If you love what we do, remember to hit them 5 stars in Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. Thank you so much to the Max Fun members who make this show possible. We could not do this without you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we will be back next week for more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Ties and Fights Podcast. Ties and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned, audience supported.